Welcome back to another episode of RC Stuff powered by Hobby Wing. Oh, I forgot. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good day. I hope that wherever you are, you've been able to enjoy some RC stuff, and we thank you for spending some time with us today. As always, I am Charlie Sawanka here alongside with my co-host, Mr. Mike Chen. Mr. Chen, hello. Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
Can't complain. I got my shoulder, my collarbone area is a lot better now. I've been able to move things around. I've been packing and washing my canopies in preparation for Axial Fest, which will be happening actually when this episode gets uploaded. So if you happen to be listening to this at Axial Fest, stop by the booth, say hi. No high fives though, because it still hurts a little bit.
Only on your right, left side?
Yeah. I've been giving people left-handed fist bumps and handshakes just in case. Some folks are a little aggressive with the handshakes, so I got to be careful. I'm a little guy, but it's not bad. I went river float kayaking the other day, and I didn't hurt myself or make it worse or injure anything. So it's been 7 weeks now, probably, since it broke.
You lost a bunch of stuff, though, right?
For the first time in a while, I have lost a GoPro, not on a quadcopter. It was on my head, on like one of them head mount things, and I floated myself into a very treed up area, and it knocked the GoPro off my head. And before I could reach in the water and grab it, the water was moving at a pretty good clip, so it washed it down river, and never to be seen again. And then when we were loading up, there was we're putting things in a flatbed or on a flatbed truck, kind of hiking up and down, and I had my phone in the stupid pocket of my swim trunks, and it ejected, and the battery died, or it got ran over and destroyed, because the last location that it was, we went right to that spot, and it definitely wasn't there anymore. So maybe somebody picked it up, or it got ran over, because it was in a parking lot area, and it's dead. So one more phone bites the dust. And you know what the funny part is? It was actually the 1 year anniversary of when I got that phone back when I lost it last year in the woods. So I love that phone. It had been through so much with me. I had it for a few months, and before I went on the 4th of July trip last year, it fell out of the bag that was on the handlebars of a motorcycle, disappeared for the whole rest of the trip. Luckily, I had a backup phone with me, so everything was fine in that regard. Got home from Downeyville, Gray Eagle area, you know, 3 or 4 hour drive, turned on the I'd Find My Phone app thing, and it turned out that whoever had picked it up plugged it in, and it was back in Downeyville. So I went back a week later and got it. That same phone has been through a lot with me this year. It's all cracked on the backside, but the screen and everything was all right, and lost it, and I think that might be the end of it. That's all that one. It's not coming back.
It's made so many comebacks. You never know.
Yeah, well, it's true. But where we were stopped to load the truck, like a lot of cars would be passing right through there. So I could easily see somebody driving over it and then somebody picking it up. And when they get it, even if they're to plug it in, it's been run over by a car probably twice now. So maybe it doesn't work. There was a lot of dents in the back of it. Like, you know, cell phones don't have a lot of room inside of them. So I could imagine it wouldn't have taken much to fatality that thing. But that's what I get for not doing more RC. I should be out RCing more. These things don't happen when I'm RCing, so I don't know. Life lessons learned, I suppose. Hopefully I won't lose anything in Axial Fest.
Get you a tether system for everything.
I thought I was going to be golden because we had to Find My thing on, but by that stage of the day, the phone was kind of dying. I even had Google Maps me and my kids share locations constantly so we can find each other, or more often so she doesn't have to text me all the time where she is. But anyway, so she knew where my phone was, and we went right back over there 2 hours later, probably before I figured out that it was gone. But anyway, that's the story of my lost cell phone. Lame. The GoPro I'm more bummed out about, because we had a lot of fun that day, kind of like rafting along, and there was some tomfoolery, and all of that's at the bottom of the river. Gross.
Never know. Somebody might find it.
Yeah, it's true. So some of you have tuned in just to find out how to enter to win, because on every episode of The Charlie Show, I make mention of the RC Stuff podcast. And I thank everybody for tracking us down. And if you just want to find out how to enter to win, Mike, you could probably tell them. You know what to do, right?
Yep. You're going to send an email to rcstuff@hobbywing.com. Make sure you include your shirt size, your email address typed out. I believe their address as well. Definitely. And then what kind of RC stuff you're into, or RC stuff that you would like to be into. I did not think this very through very well.
No, that's it.
That's it.
If you have any questions, if you have somebody you want to get on the podcast, and you can put that all in the email. The email address is very easy, rcstuff@hobbywing.com, and include all that fun information. And even, like, you got a shout-out. Maybe you own a club or you run a club, a track. You got events coming up. You want us to spread the word, by all means, let us know that information, and we'll be happy to get that out there for you. A topic that you want us to discuss. Those we always need. We're always running out of stuff to talk about, or maybe stuff that you want to hear about. We always have things to talk about, whether you want to listen to it or not. Another story. So keep that in mind. Like I said, rcstuff@hobbywing.com. My inbox is anxiously awaiting. So this week's winner will be announced at the end of the show. So you got to keep listening.
That's mean.
That's fine. But Mike and I do have some very serious things to talk about today. And today's episode is all about the S's. S-Bus 2 and sponsorship. They're not directly related to each other, but we were chatting about things the other day. I'm like, this would be a good thing for us to discuss because Mike and I deal with a lot of folks that meet us at events or interact with us online, and they want to know how to get sponsored. And I think Mike and I want to talk about not just how to get sponsored, but what might make you an awesome candidate that a company would want to sponsor you, right?
Yes, please.
All right. Mike, I'll let you start because I have lots to say on this topic, and I could go on and on. And we all know how that goes.
Yeah, this whole topic actually kind of came about. I just noticed at a, you know, there's a sponsored driver that I happen to know, and not the greatest driver, but he's a younger kid, and the sponsors kind of they do a kind of like a program to help kids, you know, kind of give them something to do, give them kind of like a purpose, you know what I mean? Something in a hobby. And yeah, I just was not very impressed with the way this person was handling themselves because he's like, oh, I'm a sponsor. You know, he's just walking around going, oh, I'm a sponsored driver, blah, blah, blah. And he's got a big head on him, almost to the point where he couldn't walk through the doorway. And I'm like, man, you know, like, really? Like, that's you know, as a sponsored driver, you're representing the company or companies that are sponsoring you. And
I mean,
like,
even if you are the fastest guy at the track and smoking everybody, shouldn't come across that way. Like, and more so if you're not even that good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, credit where credit's due. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if you saw somebody who's acting like words I probably shouldn't say.
Dookie.
Thank you. Thank you for the family safe word there. Yep. And they're, you know, I just wouldn't. Yeah, no, I just, my mind was just really blown by the whole concept of like, not even like, it's not even a matter of the appreciation of the sponsorship, but just conduct the way you conduct yourself.
Yeah, I think to think that you're there to grow the hobby, to make people want to spend time doing what you're doing, and to make it very inviting to everyone around you, not just in helping them with their segment of the hobby, like working on their cars or giving them whatever pro tips about how to be a faster racer, how to enjoy the hobby, how to make light of the day, like something goes wrong at the track, you're there to help everybody have fun instead. Like, I'm not saying act the fool and be entertaining, but just make it, you know, be a point of reference here. Don't be another person that's complaining about the delays. Make it, if you don't have something nice to say, you don't necessarily have to say anything at all. But I've always been of the mindset that's more so when you're a sponsored person that is, or trying to be sponsored, or somebody who's going to be a RC celebrity at the track, if you will, that you can't complain about something unless you have a solution for it as well. And something, a solution that you're willing to participate in. So it's whatever the case may be, you got to complain about the condition of the track. Well, you know, the track over here really sucks. Would it be all right if I took a broom out there and dealt with that or move some stuff around to fix this section? Not just complain about it, but offer, you know, to help with all of that. And maybe more so if you've got a topic, you get some people on your side. So you get some help doing that. Hey, guys, do you want to go help me fix this part of the track or do whatever the case may be? So it's not just about knowing the products that you're sponsored by, but you should at least know the product that you use from your sponsors front to back, upside down, inside and out type of deal. you should be able to answer questions that are in the manual. You should be able to know the things that a speed control has available or you use or whatever the case, why you do or do not use these settings are things you should be able to comprehend and explain to people. It's got to be more than I'm sponsored, I get a discount, this is what I use, and this is all I use. You got to get a little deeper into it than that to really be, I guess, sought after as a sponsored driver, so to speak. If you guys have been around the RC car world, you all know guys at the track that have some sort of sponsorship. They say they're sponsored. They buy T-shirts with the logos on them. You know what I mean? They have their shirts made. Do you have those bought by you, Mike, the Super Pros?
Yep.
Yeah. Some of these dudes are not even that good. Maybe they're not even that helpful, but they're probably really good at writing an email or making social media posts and tagging all the right people. So you see something like that's you know, that's going to happen. That's the nature of the beast these days in the RC industry. There's a lot of, for a better lack of, I forget who came up with this term, but contract customers, where a lot of these manufacturers sponsor a lot of people because they get a discount where the manufacturer is still making as much money as they would selling it to the hobby shop. They don't have to deal with distribution. Racing's not that popular in that area, so they kind of pigeonhole a bunch of guys, or racers rather, into buying, using their products. And whether they're good, bad, or indifferent is neither here nor there. Some of them, what's the saying? You can't see the forest through the trees. And I think a lot of folks in this industry, they got a lot of blinders on like that, and ignorance is bliss in some regards. So, I guess my point is be better than all of that. You want to be treated like a person who might try to get a job at one of these companies later on, that you are being a respectful representative and making sure that everybody around you is enjoying this kind of hobby as much, maybe more than you are in some regards. So that's kind of my take on it.
No, very good. I also Googled that. It is, you can't see the forest through the trees.
Right. You just can't see what's in front of you sometimes. It's a slippery slope when you get so passionate about your hobby that you can be very blind to what you're doing wrong about it and not see, you know, it's really a great idea for you. I'm out there saying my sponsors' names. I'm running around with my shirt on. Everybody's looking at me, but you got to think about what are they thinking about when they're looking at me type of deal. So this is a tricky one for me. I have been sponsored in the RC industry since before. Like, we got into RC when I was 8 or 9 years old, and my dad immediately got his boss to buy us equipment. And we put the name on the side of the car, like NASCAR style. So my dad weaseled me into learning all the ins and outs of sponsorships long ago. And coming up through the ranks of RC, we were kind of always sponsored for the most part. A lot of the products, I mean, the mainline stuff, we got all through sponsorships for the most part. So got a little skewed vision of all of that. But when I started working at hobby shops, it made it kind of drive home, you know, the firsthand experience with products, how you can talk about products and share like your usage scenario or whatever, how you use this product, why you like it over another one. If you have any comparison, stuff like that, people take that to heart a lot more than they do you just saying this is the best and not having any reason why. So more pro tips on how to be sponsored, I guess. What did we miss anything exciting on that?
No, at the end of the day, realistically, just have fun. I mean, yeah. And I understand that sometimes if something breaks, the fun is no longer being had. But if you think about it this way, instead of complaining about it and trying to see what you can do to fix it, and then go back to having fun. Like, the sooner you fix it, the sooner you can go back to having fun, right?
Yeah.
So, because that's kind of what we do all of this at the end of the day, right?
Hopefully. If you're doing it to get rich or stack up trophies, maybe not the right move, but it's supposed to be. That's why I do it. On the sponsorship topic, I know there's event sponsorships as well. If you're an event organizer, if you run a club, you want to get your club sponsored or get support prizes for that, a well-worded email with links to your club, your events, your flyers that you've done in the past, group pictures, things like that, and what type of prizes you want. You can send that directly to Hobbywing, NorthAmerica@Hobbywing.com with your information, and that runs through what I call the committee. There's several people here at Hobbywing that get to review event requests. We put our 2 cents in and prizes get approved or not approved or whatever the case may be. So if you are into events, sponsorships, like I said, NorthAmerica@HobbyWing.com with a well-worded email about your event, including links and pictures and all that fun stuff. Make us know that you're real and you're not some dude just sitting in a basement somewhere sending us emails trying to get free boxes, because that's happened. Like, not to me, but I've heard about it.
All right.
Next up, this is kind of new in the for me anyway. Lots of you, when I say this, you're going to laugh because you've all heard of this already. S-Bus. S-Bus protocol, and what this is about is S-Bus 2. And very recently, the radio company FlySky did an update that said it was going to be integrated with Hobbywing S-Bus 2. I got an email from a customer that said, hey, what's up with this? What speed controls do you have this? And I said, I have no idea. I've never heard of this before. Let me email my boss. Email my boss, and he says, yeah, we're working on something with FlySky. There's going to be more information. Be patient. It's coming. I'm like, all right. So I tell the customer, well, we don't have anything published yet. We will soon. Fast forward 2 weeks later, there's an official update that comes out for the XR2. And the main thing that I thought was going to be awesome about this was some new updated features for the X that included a much lower minimum RPM for the motor. It goes so slow now, it's like a stepper motor. I was excited about how good FOC was before, but this is super ridiculous donkey slow on all of the KVs. Like, it goes so slow, you can see the shaft go by segment, like see the steps of the segments. It's pretty crazy. So but what really is very cool is this S-Bus 2 situation with the FlySky radios. The one they sent me, a Noble Pro, it works with that at least. And I think the model below that too. And the receivers have different ports that have the S-Bus, so you got to know a little bit about the radio to do all of this. But I made a video that makes it pretty easy. Basically, everything's assigned. You turn on the S-Bus feature in the radio. You assign it to whichever channel you're going to use it to, and then you tell it that it's the Hobbywing speed control, and that's it. That's all. You're done. It all works after that. And what does it do? It sends the telemetry from the speed control directly to the radio, and you can display it on the radio in live time through a bunch of different display options that they have on the radio. Or you can go in and see all of the data real time on a separate screen inside from the speed control as well. And on top of all of that, you can change the speed control settings. So all the tuning for the parameters of the speed control can be adjusted right through the radio without doing anything with your phone or anything like that. So, very cool stuff. This has been something that we've had for the helicopter series for a while with the V-Bar folks. And now the FlySky folks came, worked with our engineers very closely. Bingo, bango, boingo. Like, there's Hobbywing logos inside the radio when this all starts to happen. So I think it's pretty cool. And you can take any of the data that the speed control has, and it displays live time on the main screen. So I can show battery voltage, motor's temperatures, speed control temperatures, the amp draw, the RPM of the motor, and I think that's everything. Whatever else the speed control's got, it'll display all of that. And that's cool. Rock crawling, great. That's fine. And people want to know, are we going to do this on more speed controls? And I asked the boss right away. They said, yes. The plan is for this to, I believe, be system-wide on all of the speed controls at some stage, that when a radio manufacturer and Hobbywing work together, they'll have an S-Bus 2 protocol that makes everything jive so that you can not only see the data out of your speed control, but do the onboard tuning as well, which I think is very cool. So no promises. I don't know enough about all of that to even pretend that I know that all that's going to be true, but that would be my guess if, you know, the trends that we see with this sort of thing, once you get it working one way, it usually gets working all of the ways. And I was kind of excited it came out in the rock crawl stuff first, because that's where I think that I'll be able to test it very rapidly, because you can kind of stand around, watch temperatures rise, different conditions that you drive the rock crawl in. I like to do the liquid cool thing where you drive the truck in the water to cool it off. So I'll be able to see that happen live time right on the radio. So that'll be cool. And then the other thing that I thought was really neat, I never have used a FlySky radio before, and obviously this is they're one of their more expensive ones. I think it's like $350, but comes with two receivers, two different wheels, a bunch of different triggers, two different grips, and it has a phone mount, and then a bunch of option pieces that you can take on and off the radio to remove the phone mount. It's on the aluminum case. There's a detachable battery that is like a secondary. So the pistol grip itself has a battery. You could take the base off to make it lighter and smaller to pack it. And then the wheel, it can be put left or right handed the way that it comes. And it's infinitely adjustable for ergonomics on the angle in reference to the top of the radio. And it's got wireless charging built into it. So super cool radio. And compared to, you know, all of the features that it has, I think it does 8 or 18. It comes with an 8-channel and a 4-channel receiver. And I think it does like up to 12 or 18 channels. I apologize for not knowing. But for $350, I mean, this compares to any of the quote unquote major brand stuff at more around the $400 or $500 price range. So very cool radio. It fits in the hand real nice. The feel of the wheel and the trigger and all that is very premium, I guess you'd say. And the finish on the radio, the brightness, the responsiveness of the touchscreen, all that. Very good stuff. So I was very happy to finally get out and use this radio a couple weeks ago and drive it and find that it feels nice in the hand. It's balanced and all that, because my concern was, like, I've been using that Futaba radio for so long that this, my hands were going to hate this thing, but it's good. It feels great. So, and then, but this S+2 thing is pretty cool. I'm excited to get out and run this and watch my data on my radio. And people are laughing like, yeah, Charlie, we've had this in drones forever. We've had this in helicopters and lots of other systems are out there, like the Spectrum. A lot of the RTRs that you get now, they'll tell you the battery voltage of the truck right on the radio, which I think is pretty cool. But I'm geeking out on it because you can adjust the radio to display all the things differently, and it's pretty neat. So,
ooh, quiz time for you.
Whoa, please.
Do you know what the 2 stands for in S+2?
Because it's the no. I don't know. What does it stand for? You know?
I do.
Mike's such a nerd.
I'm a drone guy. Come yes. on.
Tell me.
So S-Bus is a single-way protocol.
Oh.
Where data can only go from, like, the telemetry can only go sure. in one direction.
Okay.
When you go S-Bus 2, now you're not just getting the telemetry from the thing, but then you can send signals back via the same port.
That makes sense. This explains a lot, because I'm looking through the radio settings, and you set the protocol for the receiver when you're doing all this, and mm-hmm. one of them is S-Bus, one of them is S-Bus 2, and then they have one that's S-Bus transmit and S-Bus receive, and that makes mm-hmm. sense, because you can assign all those things. So, good times. Well, so that's my take so far, and of course, I did a Charlie Show episode on this that has been out for a couple days by the time this podcast is up. So you can check that out, see how that all works. I do a real quick run through on how quick and easy it is to set it up. I was expecting it to be complicated. It's like, bloop, 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 works. So that's pretty cool.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, you're done?
Yes. That's all my S+2s.
Okay. Just for everybody listening too, we do have a support page from Hobby Wing as
the super brain may know.
The super brain. Yes. So if anybody's interested, it's support.hobbywingdirect.com, and that will take you to the support page. We have a bunch of articles up. I'm almost done with all the user manuals, so pretty much every user manual that we've had for all the ESCs and everything is all up. The only thing I'm missing right now are the accessories, which I should have been done by the end of this week.
Awesome. So if you got to find it, you can go through hobbywingdirect.com under support. It's the Guru Support Center if you go over there. And those are articles that myself and Mike and many other members of the team here participate in making that are like the common topics that folks email and ask or call and ask, so that there's a pool of knowledge, if you will. And I think that eventually the internet's going to help you guys find those answers even faster. So we're all excited about that.
Woo.
Yeah, totally. And that brings us to the real reason that you've all tuned in. This week's winner.
What?
Yeah. RC stuff. Each and every episode, we give away some Hobbywing systems. All you have to do to enter to win, send us an email, rcstuff@hobbywing.com. We talked about this already. Name, address, email, shirt size, what kind of RC stuff you're into. This week's winner from, this is a cool town name, Buford, Georgia. Mr. Tim Thompson and his son Tyler. Congratulations, guys.
Woo!
I like Tim. Tim was appreciative that we shouted out. We talked about Kinwald a while back because he's a very long time RC racer. If you know who Brian Kinwald is, you've been around the industry for a very long time. Legendary, multi time national world champion, and he gone too soon type of thing. So yeah, it's great to hear from fans of the RC world in general. So congratulations, Team Thompson. Keep an eye on your emails. You may get one before this episode goes up, but probably the Monday after, if I had to guess. So we appreciate your patience, but congratulations.
Okay. And just a reminder to everybody, it's Axial Fest you're going to be at, right?
I am.
Yeah. If you're going to be at Axial Fest, go say hi to Charlie.
Please. I'll be there waiting patiently. We're going to do booth raffles each and every day. If you want to come see this S-Bus 2 stuff, I'll have my truck there set up. You can drive it around and try this new update out because it goes so slow.
How slow does it go, Charlie?
So slow.
Are you sure?
We won't go over it again. We already did. Anything else, Mike? We're going to wrap this one up, I think. We're right at about 30 minutes. We'll give you guys a couple extra minutes to wrap up your lunch.
Yeah. I think that's about it. That's all I got right now.
Can I still say Shames is still fast?
Actually.
Is he not fast anymore?
Well, for first off, I would like to congratulate him on his DRL tryouts. I caught a couple rounds, but I just had to throw it out there. He was getting beat. He's pretty fast. He's getting beat. So Shames is kind of fast. That's where I'm gonna leave it at, Shames. Come at me, bro.
He's kind of fast, but he's getting beat.
I mean, he was racing in the top tier. You know, these are like he's racing with the final, like essentially the finalists for the DRL tryouts. So like,
was he the senior most member of the tryouts?
I want to say yes.
I would imagine so. Probably the only one that's got kids to feed.
Well, his kid was in the live chat cheering him on.
Fantastic. I thought maybe you were going to tell me that she beat him in the tryouts this year. I caught a little social media posting from the two of them, but I didn't have time to read it all. So
I think Callie will get him in a year or two. Yeah, Callie's getting fast. Yeah.
Well, good. It's always good to see. Families that race together stay together, so to speak.
Yep. Well, there will be that day when we can stop saying Shames is fast, and we're going to have to start saying Callie's fast.
I think he'll always be fast in my book, but... we'll see. Maybe he won't be. I don't know. One day I'll race him, and if I beat him, then we'll know he's not fast.
Well, what kind of race are we talking about?
No, RC race of some sort.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. On that note, folks, as always, thanks for tuning in. Another episode of RC Stuff. My name is Charlie Sawenka here with Mike Chen, and we thank you all for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Bye. Not to be confused with Mike Chen.
The Chiniverse.